see the holiness of our own bodies, but to respect the bodies of all those whom you have made. Teach us to see your image in one another. Fill us with your grace so that we may use our bodies to serve others in your name. Amen. Please turn to page 893 in the small blue hymnal. Sorry, the large blue hymnal. Lord, we confess our day-to-day failure to be truly human.
Lord, we confess to you.
Lord, we confess that we often fail to love with all we have and are, often because we do not fully understand what loving means, often because we are afraid of risking ourselves.
Lord,
we cut ourselves off from each other and we erect barriers of division.
Lord,
we confess that by silence and ill-considered words, Lord, we confess that by selfishness and lack of sympathy, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Help us listen to your word of forgiveness, for we are very deaf. Come, fill this moment and free us from sin. Through the power of Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. A reading from Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and the Holy One brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. God led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. The Spirit said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then God said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to those bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together. Bones to its bones. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then God said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.'" I prophesied as God commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then God said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. The word of life.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's gospel. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you were going to go there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Mary heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. These are very familiar words. They are the words of grace that begin a Christian funeral service, and they form the bedrock of the church's proclamation that for those who believe in Jesus Christ, there is everlasting life. Historically, the Christian church has taught that the physical resurrection of the body will occur when Christ comes again. Physical bodies sleep in their graves until the second coming. But centuries of waiting for Christ to come again have caused many Christians to place our hope in a spiritual life that lives beyond the body in some way. Many of us, myself included, aren't really sure what life everlasting is. But whatever it is, it seems to be detached from our bodies. The two passages of Scripture we heard this morning are clearly about physical bodies, dead bodies, restored to life by the power of God. Ezekiel is the prophet of the Jews exiled in Babylon. The dry bones the Lord shows him are those of the dead who were the nation of Israel. Ezekiel is told to prophesy to the bones as if they can hear him, not once, but 3 times. The final time, the Lord God tells Ezekiel to say, "I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act." Recreation of the sinews, flesh and skin, animated by God's very breath, reveals God's glory. John's telling of the raising of Lazarus has the same intention. Throughout his long narrative, John underscores the purpose of Lazarus' death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. Jesus proves he is the Son of God by raising a dead Lazarus from the grave. John makes it very clear that Lazarus is really dead. We are told he has been dead for 4 days, past the 3-day mark where some Jews of the time believed that the soul separated from the body on the 3rd day. The stench of decaying flesh is ripe. Jesus calls Lazarus from the grave and restores life to his physical body, prefiguring Jesus' death and resurrection, which are shortly to follow. John reveals both the divinity of Christ and the humanity of Jesus in this story. Lazarus is deeply loved by his sisters, Martha and Mary, the neighbors and friends who mourn with the sisters, and by Jesus as well. Jesus grieves. He appears to have failed his friends in a spectacular way by not arriving in time. Accompanied by friends and mourners, Martha goes out to meet Jesus and greets him with an accusation. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." She states her faith in the traditional belief of the day that her brother will live on again on the last day. Jesus tells her that he is the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in him will never die. And he asks Martha, "Do you believe this?" Martha does believe him. And in front of the gathered community, she proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah. If the point of John's story is the revelation of God's glory made visible in Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, why doesn't Jesus call Lazarus out of the tomb after Martha's confession and end the story at verse 27? There must be something else that John wants us to know, something that has to do with the relationships between Martha, Mary, and Jesus, and the love they share for each other and for Lazarus. From the very beginning of the story, the sisters advocate for their brother. With sure confidence in God, they plead for the one they know who embodies God's power to come and prevent death and save their brother. After Martha confesses that Jesus is the Messiah, she goes into the house after her sister. Mary is so let down by Jesus' failure to arrive in time, she does not even go out to meet him. And when called by her sister to come to the teacher, she too greets Jesus with the same accusation. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Blamed by both sisters, and in the midst of his own grief, Jesus weeps with Martha, Mary, and the other mourners. And only then does he have the stone rolled away and calls Lazarus' body back to life, in the very last verse of the passage. As I was praying over this, I was reminded of another story. Theophany, a Benedictine monk, wrote a collection of parables entitled Tales of a Magic Monastery in the early 1980s. There is a well at the monastery where one calls down for the things one wants most. Theophany tells of a young monk who was so badly hurt by his brother monks that he goes to the well and shouts down, "Solitude!" He gets his solitude. But then later he realizes that being a Christian requires others. And so he returns to the well and calls down, "Community!" The young monk is given community, but its demands and busyness drive him back to the wall where he calls down death, and his body dies. Death is lovely for a while, quiet and peaceful, but then he begins to feel left out and unable to help others. The monk wants to return to the well, but his dead body cannot get him there. And even if it did, he has no breath to call again. The monk yearns for life, but watches as others pass him by and fail to see him. If only one of his brothers would go to the well for him. Theophany ends the story this way, quote, "It didn't seem to occur to them to go to the well for me. They saw me lying there, but no one thought to bring me back to life. Why were they so selfish, so thoughtless? At last, someone did think of it. He went to the well and called down, 'Life for my brother!' I rose from the dead. Oh, to be alive again, to breathe, to see, to walk, to hear, to relate to people. But where was the man who had raised me up? I asked everyone, 'Have you seen the man that raised me from the dead?' They thought I was crazy. No one comes back from the dead. Called down the well for you? You call for yourself, not for someone else. I searched all over. And you know, I passed many a grave before it finally occurred to me that someone else might be longing to return to life. I ran to the well. 'Life for my brothers!' Ah, then I saw in the water, way down there, the face of the one who had raised me from the dead." Mary and Martha have also called down the well. Life for our brother Lazarus. Isn't that what underlies their accusation? If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Supported by Martha and Mary and their community of friends, Jesus too calls, "Lazarus, come out." And so he does. Lazarus's body has been reanimated with the living breath of God, not only because Jesus has called for him, but also because his sisters and their community have done the same. It requires all 45 verses of John's story to see the full face of Christ reflected in the living water of the well of life. John and Theophany the monk issue a challenge to us. Where are the physical bodies that need to be brought back to life in our time? For whom will we call down the well? Everywhere I looked this week, I saw physical bodies in community calling down the well for the lives of others. LGBTQ bodies, deported bodies, and bodies of the loved ones they leave behind. Bodies addicted to opioids, black bodies, brown bodies, water-protecting bodies, refugee bodies, women's bodies, Muslim bodies, poor bodies, hungry bodies, bodies of the sick, the suffering, and the grieving, some of them right here in our congregation. The Christian faith is an embodied one, lived in community for the sake of others. What we do to the physical bodies of the least among us, we have done to the body of Christ. Scripture insists physical bodies matter, every bit as much as the spirit. The body of Christ is made whole when together we call down the well, "Life for my brothers and my sisters." Amen.